Hello, I'm Norma Galumbus. Welcome to the Norma Galumbus Lifestyle Podcast, a part of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. Hello, welcome to the Norma Galumbus Lifestyle Podcast. Today's episode is titled Farmer John and Farmer Jane. Thank you so much for listening. And if you like this podcast, please feel free to share it. Every community has its interesting characters that people remember, and subsequent generations learn about them through stories passed down. Farmer John and Jane were two such individuals who left a lasting impression. John was born on December 26, 1870, in Aldershot, Kent, England, 30 miles southwest of London. Jane was born in England in 1886 and was approximately 15 when she met John. They ran away together, immigrating to the United States, but it is believed that they never married. They stayed in the United States for a while, playing their musical instruments on New York streets to make a few dollars. They made their way to Saskatchewan in a gypsy caravan in 1904. A caravan is a horse-drawn living wagon. Initially, they came to the Duck Lake area, then they lived on the banks of the Saskatchewan River in their caravan, in the Silver Gold District, which is 15 miles east of Leask. In 1912, a friend loaned them $200 to purchase a quarter section of land from the government, and they moved to the Demore District west of Leask. They built a one-room log cabin on the shores of Grassy Lake and remained there for the next 56 years. Friends and neighbors referred to them as Farmer John and Jane, Farmer John and Farmer Jane, or Mr. and Mrs. Farmer. Their legal names seem uncertain, as there are different versions listed in writings about them and stories. John Stewart, spelt two different ways, and Jane Shaw seemed to be the consensus among my sources. People speculated about their mysterious past because of the confusion surrounding their names, their lifestyle, and the stories they told themselves. It was common, though, for names to be misspelled and never corrected on immigration documents. It was hard for people who heard their stories to discern fact from fiction. Jane had apparently been a minstrel gypsy or entertainer in England, and John claimed he was related to royalty. That first cabin burnt down in 1943. During the construction of a replacement home, John and Jane lived in their caravan. The new house was built in stages and was larger, with two rooms on the main level and a small loft accessible by ladder. John and Jane mainly lived in one room, and the other part was used for laundry, etc. Visitors walked through that first part to get to the back living area. Their furnishings included a bed, a cupboard, table and chairs, a lantern, battery-operated radio, a hanging plant in a pail, and a wood stove. Log cabins of the day were very rustic. They were made from logs that they covered with plaster, which was made from a mixture of clay, water, and straw. The cabin was then whitewashed inside and out, and rough lumber covered the floor. They had no family here and never had children. Their animals filled that void. Multiple dogs and cats, sheep, horses, goats, a milk cow, chickens, and a rooster. They built a small shelter for the animals and a coop for the chickens. The chickens would leap into the house through the open window, roam about freely, and then jump back out while the cats napped on the bed. In the summer, John and Jane often cooked outside over an open fire. They hauled water from the lake, and there was an abundance of firewood at hand for the wood stove and campfires. The chickens provided meat and eggs. They planted a garden, milked the goats and cows, and fished the lake. John bagged small game that ventured near the cabin. When neighbors had extra, they gave John and Jane butter, eggs, and milk to supplement their supply. They were always appreciative of whatever they received. John and Jane smoked pipes. For years, John lit Jane's pipe. When he became too ill to draw his own, she did it for him. They used Sportsman brand canned tobacco. John made earrings for Jane from wire and plastic chicken rings, which are the bands that went on chicken's legs. Jane had a hooked nose, and over the years, her skin grew weathered. She wore bib overalls or corduroy pants and long-sleeve shirts. A crocheted hairnet held back her hair. When she first came to Silver Grove as a young lady, though, one young boy who met Jane was amazed by her beauty and said her skin looked like peaches and cream. John was an average-sized man with big, bushy eyebrows. In photographs, he is in long johns and pants held up with suspenders. His hair is tousled and his face unshaven. The couple did dress up, though, when they went out to play music in public. John and Jane loved company and telling stories. Visitors often heard the same tale the next time they stopped by. They told the story of their beloved dog Bridget, who passed away. When the weather was pleasant, they sat outside on wooden chairs playing music and visiting. Jane let the occasional visitor sit on her horse, and John gave the kids peppermints. She served tea and biscuits. Jane rarely bothered to empty the old leaves from the teapot. She just added more. If you wanted milk in your tea, Jane would grab the goat's teat and squirt some in your cup. My mother-in-law said she took Jane's strong tea black. John and Jane shared their musical talents, playing violin, mandolin, guitar, and fiddle at country dances and sports days in Leask. They played in the Leask Hotel, including on the balcony. Women were not permitted in the beer parlor at that time, except for Jane, who was allowed in to play music with John. John made a fiddle. It looked crude, but apparently it sounded good. He eventually traded it for something he needed, and then that person traded it, and so it went. It's anyone's guess where it ended up. They lived simply, requiring little to support their lifestyle. They received government pension checks when that came into effect in the 1950s, but these checks were never cashed. In the end, authorities found them stuffed in a sealer. Their chosen standard of living highlighted their eccentricity, but it was what they wanted. John and Jane never changed the way they lived. They remained frozen in a bygone era. They were satisfied and didn't feel the need to work harder to achieve more. In the coldest parts of the Saskatchewan winter, they brought the sheep in to sleep with them for warmth, or if the sheep was lambing. In the 1960s, when the Hubs was around 8, he went with his mom to bring Jane a chocolate birthday cake. His mom was driving their pink and white 1958 Ford Custom car. That day, Jane was wearing a gypsy kerchief over her hair and had one large hoop earring dangling from her ear. The Hubs was terrified of Jane. In his mind, he remembers her earring being large enough for a dog to jump through. John kept stout, which is a strong dark malt beer, and bohemian beer under the bed for visitors. The Hubs said Farmer John offered him one during that visit, but he declined politely. In their younger years, John and Jane traveled by horse and buggy to do their grocery shopping at Royal Lake Store or in Demore at Ruby Doo Store. Jane would sit perched on a stool with one leg draped over the other and visit with the store worker and patrons while smoking her pipe. Later on, Jane would often walk the mile over to my aunt and uncle's house. They knew she was coming because their dog began to bark wildly. She would come to drop off their grocery list so my uncle could pick up the items they needed, or just to have coffee. Their caravan became weathered and rotted away in the bush. The couple refused to move, even though their health was deteriorating. My uncle checked in on them weekly and helped out by delivering their groceries and mail. Other neighbors checked in on them daily in their advancing years. Farmer John and Jane relied on their good-hearted neighbors more and more in the advancing years. When my uncle came by to check on them on April 29, 1968, John told him he didn't know what was wrong with Jane, as she hadn't gotten up. The authorities were called, and upon further investigation, it was confirmed that she had passed away in her sleep. She was 82. John, unable to stay on his own, was moved to a nursing home in Prince Albert, where he passed away 7 months later on November 30th, 1968, at the age of 98. Once their cabin was abandoned, vandals ransacked it, erroneously thinking they would find hidden cash or treasures. The land changed ownership a couple of times, and today only a small part of their cabin, barn, and caravan remain collapsed in the tall grass. John and Jane's story is perhaps a reminder to take life as it comes, to live simpler, worry less about material things, and that it's okay to rely on others for help when the going gets tough. John and Jane remain forever together, buried in the Lease Cemetery. Visit my lifestyle blog for episode pictures and links to my garden and published works pages, food blog, and gift shop. My website address is in the episode notes. The Saskatchewan Podcast Network is supported by Direct West. Is marketing getting in the way of running your business? Direct West has a local expert team right here in Saskatchewan that will work with you to build your website exactly how you imagine it. Let them help you improve your online presence and head to directwest.com to learn more.
The Saskatchewan Podcast Network is supported by Kinexus. Savings, checkings, GIC, budget, RESP, RRSP, TFSA, mutual funds, credit score, emergency funds, variable versus fixed rates, compound interest, retirement. The list goes on and on. It's time to make sense of it all. At Kinexus Credit Union, they want to help. Financial literacy is a critical life skill, giving you the knowledge and confidence to make smart, responsible decisions about your money. Visit KinexusMoneyTalk.ca to find expert advice, tips, and solutions for all life stages and events, and increase your financial literacy knowledge and confidence today.